Welcome to the weekly podcast from Ashford Baptist, an active evangelical community church of all ages and many nationalities based in the centre of Ashford, Kent in the UK. We hope you enjoy the message.
And that's what we're thinking about this morning, where Jesus came into somebody's life and did something. I want to start by telling you a little story of something that happened in our house long, long time ago. I was doing some work in the loft of our house. And you know how in the loft often, if you haven't got boards down, you've got bits of wood that go in strips like that. And there's a gap about that big between each strip of wood. And I was up there and I missed my footing and put my foot through the ceiling of the room underneath, our dining room it was. And the mess that it made. You know, we had a hole in the dining room roof and there was mess all over the place and that. And I was just thinking that, you know, when Jesus was standing there in that room teaching, if we could have the first slide up for the PowerPoint, please. Okay, imagine the surprise that the people must have had at that moment. You know, it must have been an amazing thing that, you know, they all look it up and there's bits of dust flying down into their faces. They've got dust in their hair. Their clothes are covered in dust and everything like that. And suddenly there's this bright sunshine, because there wouldn't have been many windows in a place like that. And suddenly this bright sunshine's coming down. And, you know, as they're looking up, they could see the friends. And that's why I had that previous slide, the friends' faith. You know, here were four friends. We started this morning thinking about what makes a good friend. Well, this man had four good friends. They'd heard about Jesus and they thought, I think Jesus can do something for our friend. He was somebody who was injured, and they thought, well, he's the best person to take our injured friend to Jesus. Because we know, we've heard that Jesus heals people. So, as I say, the surprise of the people, you know, all looking up, all coming down there. But imagine for a moment what it must have been like for that person, for the paralyzed man laying on the mat. Imagine the sort of things that he couldn't do. Has anyone here ever broken their leg or ankle? Yeah? What was it like when you broke your... Was it leg or ankle? Ankle. What couldn't you do?
Go to the shop.
Go to the shop, so you'd lost some of your independence, in other words. Yeah? Yeah? Anyone? Yeah? Somebody? You couldn't bath yourself, so you had to rely on the family to bathe you. Yeah, yeah. Any other broken limbs? Yeah? Okay. Oh, yeah?
I had a brain tumor and I was paralyzed on one side.
Right, so paralyzed. And there would have been a lot of things that you relied a thing, yeah. And so we can understand a little bit from our experiences and from hearing other people's experiences what it must have been like for this man. He was totally dependent on other people. And this isn't, you know, modern 21st century living. We're talking 2,000 years ago. And we don't know why he'd become paralyzed. We're not told that. Had he been like that from birth, or had something happened that had made him paralyzed? We don't know. But the thing is that there were lots of things he couldn't do. Even going to the toilet would have been a problem. He needed others. So as the people looked at this man, and as we look at him on the screen there, you know, as that you'd think, well, the obvious thing that this man needs is healing. It was, you know, fairly clear to everybody there. But this is the thing. When you go to Jesus, what Jesus sees is our greatest need. And for that man, His greatest need wasn't to be healed physically. His greatest need at that moment was to be forgiven for his sins. His greatest need was to have that blockage, that barrier, that thing that stopped him from coming to God. That's what needed healing. And if you like to think of it this way, it wasn't so much that he needed healing so that he could walk on his legs. He needed healing so that he could walk with God. Say that again. Didn't need healing so that he could walk with his legs. He needed healing in his heart so that he could walk with God. And that's something every one of us needs. We need that healing first and foremost. And sometimes we can run to God and say, God, oh, I need this and I need that. And actually God is saying, no, your biggest need is to be able to walk with me. So what does Jesus say? He says, your sins are forgiven. And that immediately erases questions from the people around him, particularly the religious leaders. He can't say that. He can't say that. Only God can say that. Who is this man? He's trying to deceive this poor man lying here on a mat by saying that his sins are forgiven, because only God can forgive sins. No one else can forgive sins. And Jesus knew what they were thinking. That's the amazing thing. So in this story, we see the big question, who is Jesus? Who is he? Is he just an ordinary man? Or is he the Son of God? And that's a question that is being asked in this account that we hear here. So he says, right, okay, I'll tell you what then. So that you know that I'm the Son of God, you get up and take your mat and go home. And that's what the man does. Gets up, takes his mat, and goes home. Now, is anyone here of a medical persuasion? You know, you're a nurse or a doctor or something like that. Just put your hands up. Okay, yeah, one or two of you. Okay, thank you. You will know, and you will know as well because you've had something similar, you will know that something remarkable happened in that moment. Now, just listen to me as I say those words and think how many seconds it takes. I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. 3 seconds? 2-3 seconds? Not long, is it? Now think about what was happening in those 2 or 3 seconds. Okay? First of all, any nerves in that man's body that weren't working suddenly got knitted back together again. Any tendons that had been torn and ligaments that had been torn suddenly were knitted back together again. Any broken bits of his body were suddenly knitted back together again. Any bits in his brain which were causing that part of his body not to function suddenly were healed like that. And I know, because I've had friends that have had this, you know, when they've broken ankles and legs and that, there is a huge amount of time for rehabilitation. You have to go to the physiotherapist. You have to build up the strength in your muscles again and do things like that. Think about what Jesus did on that day when he said, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. In that second, there was a whole host of things that were happening inside that man's body. Wow. Can we see that, the scope of this miracle? Jesus wasn't just saying, you've been laying there for a bit too long, get up and walk. No. But then he does something else. He says to him, get up. Okay. So he's laying there and he gets up. Oh, well, that means his legs are working, doesn't it? And then he says, take up your mat. So he picks his mat up, puts it on. Oh, that means his arms are working as well. And then he says, walk. Oh, well, that means your muscles are working. And your brain's sending the right signals to your body, which it wasn't doing before because you couldn't do that. Three things that were happening in that simple little phrase. So Jesus asks this hard question for each one of us. Which is easier? Which is easier? Well, for any of us, those two things are impossible. None of us can say to somebody else, your sins are forgiven, and know that they are forgiven. None of us can do that. Neither can we walk up to somebody that's laying there paralyzed and say, get up, take your mat and walk home. We can't do it. Only God can do that. But there's an interesting thing here. Which is easier? And I want to suggest that maybe the healing is easier than the forgiving of sins. Because what did it cost Jesus to forgive us all our sins? It cost him the cross. It cost him going and being crucified. He said to this man, your sins are forgiven. On the cross, he was saying to all of humanity, those that will come and confess me as Lord, their sins are forgiven. So three doubts that we can have as we're thinking about this story. The first doubt is this. Has God really forgiven me? Am I really a Christian? I don't know about you, but when I was a young Christian, this was a real doubt for me. Has God really forgiven me? Second doubt. Is Jesus really God's son? Or was he just somebody that did amazing things? And third doubt, does God really heal people today? Do you know, when you offer to pray for somebody and pray with somebody, by praying with somebody, that means going up and praying with them face to face, maybe laying hands on them. You need faith for that. And Jesus is saying, look, in this story, yes, I am the Son of God, because I did the things that only God could do. And because I am the Son of God, I am the one who forgives you. And to prove that I've forgiven you, look at this story of how I also healed the man. Oh, and if you don't think the Son of God can do that, look at the story again, because the amazing miracle of healing this paralytic in just a fraction of a second, his body was made whole. So the answer to all those questions is, has God forgiven me? Yes, of course he has. Is Jesus really God's son? Yes, he is. Does God heal people? Yes, he does. And this story shows us those things that we've been thinking about this morning. Now, just to go back. It's the summer holidays here, and I guess some of you children are on holiday from school, and some of you grandparents are probably having to look after children, okay? The pictures that you've seen up there, here's the model I used to do that. Lego is brilliant. If you want a little something to do with your children or your grandchildren, get the Lego out and say, make a model of this story or one of the other stories in the Bible. Because when you start having to think about it in three dimensions, rather than just words on a page, it helps you to understand the story. I was saying to, I think it was Peter before the service, I read this week a lovely quote from John Stott. Some people learn with their eyes. Some people learn with their ears. This is if you're an eye person, this is a wonderful way of doing it. If you're a practical person, it's a wonderful way of doing it.
Thanks for listening to this. To make sure you hear more messages like these, please subscribe so you don't miss out. To find out more about Ashford Baptist, visit our website, ashfordbaptist.org.uk, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Ashford Baptist.